Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, The Son of Drona Punished, Text 11. Hare Guna Chitta Matir Bhagavan Padarayanahi Adyaga Mahat Akyanam Nityam Vishnu Jana Priyaha Hare Guna Chitta Matir Bhagavan Badarayanahi Adyagan Mahadakyanam Nityam Vishnu Jana Priyaha Hare Guna Chipta Matir Bhagavan Badarayanahi Adyagan Mahadakyanam Nityam Vishnu Jana Priyaha Hare Guna Chipta Matir Bhagavan Badarayanahi Adyagan Mahadakyanam Nityam Vishnu Jana Priyaha Shiptamatir Bhagavan Badarayani Adigan Madakyanam Shyam Vishnu Vya Priya Vaishnavis. Paraguna Shipta Matir Bhagavan Badarayanahi Adigan Madhakyanam Nityam Vishnu Jana Priya Paraguna Shipta Matir Hare Guna Chitta Matir Bhagavan Badarayani Yudhanaramanam Nityam Vishnu Janapriya Hare of Hari, the personality of Godhead. Guna, transcendental attributes. Akshipta, being absorbed in. Matihi, mind. Bhagavan, powerful. Vadarayanihi, the son of Vyasadev. Adyagat, underwent studies. Mahat, great. Akhyanam, narration. Nityam, regularly. Vishnujana, devotees of the Lord. Priyaha, beloved. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Srila Shukadeva Goswami, son of Srila Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus, he underwent the study of this great narration, Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. According to Brahmavivarta Purana, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul even within the womb of his mother. Srila Vyasadeva knew that the child, after his birth, would not stay at home. Therefore, he, Vyasadeva, impressed upon him the synopsis of the Bhagavatam so that the child could be made attached to the transcendental activities of the Lord. After his birth, the child was still more educated in the subject of the Bhagavatam by recitation of the actual poems. The idea is that generally the liberated souls are attached to the feature of impersonal Brahman with a monistic view of becoming one with the Supreme Whole. But by the association of pure devotees like Vyasadeva, even the liberated soul becomes attracted to the transcendental qualities of the Lord. By the mercy of Sri Narada, Srila Vyasadeva was able to narrate the great epic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the mercy of Vyasadeva, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was able to grasp the import. The transcendental qualities of the Lord are so attractive that Srila Shukadeva Goswami became detached from being completely absorbed in impersonal Brahman and positively took up the personal activity of the Lord. Practically, he was thrown from the impersonal conception of the Absolute, thinking within himself that he had simply wasted so much time in devoting himself to the impersonal feature of the Supreme. Or in other words, he realized more transcendental bliss with the personal feature than the impersonal. And from that time, not only did he himself become very dear to the Vishnu Janas, or the devotees of the Lord, but also the Vishnu Janas became very dear to him. The devotees of the Lord who do not wish to kill the individuality of the living entities and who desire to become personal servitors of the Lord do not very much like the impersonalist. And similarly, the impersonalist who desire to become one with the Supreme are unable to evaluate the devotees of the Lord. Thus, from time immemorial, these two transcendental pilgrims have sometimes been competitors. In other words, each of them likes to keep separate from the other because of the ultimate personal and impersonal realizations. Therefore, it appears that Srila Shukadeva Goswami also had no liking for the devotees. But since he himself became a saturated devotee, he desired always the transcendental association of the Vishnu Janas, and the Vishnu Janas also liked his association, since he became a personal Bhagavat. Thus, both the son and the father were completely cognizant of transcendental knowledge in Brahman, and afterwards, both of them became absorbed in the personal features of the Supreme Lord. The question as to how Shukadev Goswami was attracted by the narration of the Bhagavatam is thus completely answered by this shloka. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militamena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the first part of this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how Shukadeva Goswami heard a synopsis of the Srimad Bhagavatam from him when he was in the womb of his mother. In the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports to the verses there, gives some additional information about this episode. It's explained that Srila Vyasadeva, who had several wives actually, one of his wives was the daughter of a sage named Jabali. And Vyasadeva and his wife performed many years of austerities together, and then they decided to conceive a child. So the child conceived in the womb was Shukadeva Goswami. And he remained in the womb for many, many years. Sometimes it said 12, sometimes it said 16. But he would not come out from the womb as normally a child does after 9 months. So his father, Vyasadeva, was very concerned, and somehow or other, yeah, by their transcendental potency, they were able to communicate with each other. You know, these very powerful personalities can act in some very unusual ways. But Vyasadeva was telling his son that he should come out from the womb of his mother. And the son said, "No, I don't want to do that, because then when I come out, I'll be subjected to the influence of Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord, and I'll be engaged in all kinds of unpleasant activities." And Srila Vyasadeva said, no, that won't happen to you. You'll be able to transcend it." And Shukadeva Goswami didn't believe him. He said, "Well, look at you. You know, you're attached to your wife, children. I don't want that." So he refused to come out. So Srila Vyasadeva went to Dwarka and met Lord Krishna and explained the situation. So Krishna himself went to the ashram of Vyasadeva and convinced Shukadeva Goswami to come out. So he did. but he immediately ran away, and Srila Prabhupada said became a Parivrajakacharya, a wandering saintly person. So that information is given there. There are other episodes in the Srimad Bhagavatam where saintly persons receive instruction within the womb. You know, that was the case of Prahlad Maharaj. He received instructions from Narada Muni when he was in the womb of his mother, the wife of the great demon Hiranyakashipu, and thus he became a great devotee of the Lord, even though he was born in the family of demons. And Maharaj Parikshit, who heard the Srimad Bhagavatam later from Shukadev Goswami, he also saw Lord Krishna within the womb of his mother, Uttara. He was actually saved. We're going to be hearing about that. He was going to be killed by the Brahmastra weapon that was unleashed by Ashwatthama, but Krishna came within the womb of his mother and saved him. And after that, Parikshit was always looking to find that great personality that he had seen within the womb. And actually his name Parikshit means examiner. That means he was examining everyone. Is this the great personality that I saw in the womb of my mother? So there are many examples like that of personalities seeing Krishna, being instructed in transcendental knowledge, even within the wombs of their mothers. Of course, it's not a very pleasant situation. In the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 26th chapter, Lord Kapila explains the movements of the living entities. That's the name of the chapter. And the chapter starts out with a very famous verse, Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deho Papataye, means by karma and by superior arrangement, the conditioned soul is placed in the womb of a particular mother to get a particular kind of body. Karmana, by the previous karma, Daiva Netrena, by divine superior arrangement, Jantur, the living entity, Deha Opapataye, gets a new body, a new material body. And then Lord Kapila begins to describe how the soul enters the body. The conditioned soul, after leaving one body, enters the semen of the father, and the father injects the semen into the womb of the mother, and the soul enters the embryo, which is in a seed-like state in the beginning, and then gradually it begins to grow. It's very interesting that, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam there's a detailed description of how the embryo grows within the body, that in the first month the head begins to form, in the second month the arms and legs become distinguished in the body, in the third month the fingers and toes and fingernails and hair begin to develop, in the fourth month the bodily tissues begin to differentiate, in the fifth month some feelings of hunger and thirst begin to awaken in the embryo. In the sixth month, the embryo shifts its position to the right side of the woman's body, the mother's body. And then in the seventh month, developed consciousness begins to manifest itself. And even scientifically speaking, you know, I was reading one book by a psychologist lady that I met once. Her name was Jenny Wade. She wrote a book called Changes of Mind. It was published by State University of New York Press. And she was saying that scientifically, you know, they do brainwave studies of the embryo, and they find that around the seventh month, that's when the brain waves are like that of a fully conscious human being. So that's also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that in the seventh month, developed consciousness and awareness are there. And at that point, the soul in the body of that embryo begins to remember its 100 past lives and begins to reflect on all the sinful activities that were performed that have led to this position of having to be trapped in a womb again, about to take birth again. Of course, we hear from Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna saying, Janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha doshana darshanam. An intelligent person will see that the conditioned soul in the material world has to undergo four principal miseries. The first one being janma, birth. So, and then illness and death, old age. Those things are there, but it begins with birth, you know, being trapped within the womb. And there's an elaborate description of the different miseries that the soul, the embryo, undergoes in the womb. Lord Kapila gives that description in that chapter in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the soul is praying to Krishna, somehow or other, I've forgotten you. I know I'm spiritual by nature, but now I'm being covered by these material elements. I know it's my fault. I don't want to commit any more sinful activities so that I won't ever have to undergo this again. And in his purports to those verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Srila Prabhupada mentions how a person, you know, who has undergone some operation, you know, going to a doctor and having to undergo some severe kind of surgery, swears, I'll never behave in such a way that I have to undergo this again. I know, like, I went to a dentist a couple of years ago and had to get, what do you call it, root canal. And while the dentist was there just drilling and drilling and drilling, you know, I was thinking, I'll brush my teeth. I'll floss. Oh, I never want to be in this position again. Or, as Srila Prabhupada said, a woman undergoing labor decides, I'll never get in this position again. But of course we do. But the soul is praying like that to Krishna. Somehow or other, you've given me this human form of life, and I'm going to be so grateful because in that human form of life, we can actually choose our destiny. That's the value of the human form of life. Atato brahma jigyasa. Now is the time to inquire about the absolute truth. So the soul swears, that's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to surrender to you, Krishna, Vishnu. I'm going to take advantage of my human form of life, and I'm going to steer myself in the proper direction so that I'll never have to undergo this again. So the soul is praying like that. And you know, it seems to the average materialist that this is something that's very difficult to understand. But, you know, in my book, Human Devolution, like I quote some passages from this psychiatrist, Jenny Wade's book, where she talks about fetal memories, that people actually, some of them, have memories of what went on in the womb. Sometimes these memories are evoked by hypnotic regression, and studies have been done of hundreds of these cases where some people actually have some consciousness that goes back to the time when they were a fetus within the womb. And the great majority of them say they felt different from the fetus. Their consciousness felt separate from it. But at a certain point, they felt their consciousness entering into the developing body. And that process, it's actually described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the consciousness of the conditioned soul begins to identify with the covering of the material body. And then the actual process of birth takes place. And it's so traumatic that the fetus, as it's coming out, loses all its memory. It's a very traumatic experience. And then it kind of wakes up, and its consciousness is no longer in the state where it can be saying, you know, praying to Krishna, I know I'm not this body. You know, it's just limited to its little baby body. And then the Srimad Bhagavatam, that chapter, the movement of the living entities, then describes how, you know, the child is there in its baby's body. It's completely forgotten everything that it was telling Krishna in the womb. And everybody's going, oh, you're so cute. And, you know, it's not able to really communicate its feelings, and it's undergoing all kinds of pain and suffering that make it cry out. And then it grows up into a child, and the child has all kinds of desires it can never fulfill, so it experiences anger and sorrow, and then gradually grows up. Becomes attracted to the opposite sex, becomes entangled in family life, grows old, grows sick, dies again, and goes through the whole thing again. But in that chapter it said that one should make use of the human form of life to understand. I mean, the very first lesson of spiritual life is to understand Dehinosmin Yata Dehe Kamaram Yovanam Jura, that the soul is actually different than the body, and it has a different destiny. In that chapter, it's described the effects of bad association. Srila Shukadev Goswami explains that for the man, the woman is the most potent manifestation of Maya, and for the woman, it's man who's the most potent manifestation of Maya. Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya duratiya mameva ye prapadyante mayamitam taranti te. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita this Maya, his energy, it's his divine potency, and it's very strong, and nobody can overcome it except one who surrenders to Krishna. Then such a surrendered person, a surrendered soul, can overcome the power of Maya and get freed from the cycle of birth and death. In his purports, Srila Prabhupada explains that although the opposite sex can be a source of Maya, so if they both, the husband and wife, are both devotees of the Lord, they cooperate and serve Krishna together, understand that they're not just for each other, but they're there to serve Krishna, so then things can be very nice. The quality of association is very important. We should associate with those who will help us make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, association can be very harmful. Lord Chaitanya said, Asat Sangha Tyaga a Vaishnava Achar. Avoiding bad association is the first principle of being a Vaishnava. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Associating with the devotees is the key to spiritual life, and that's why our society was created. Srila Prabhupada said, I could have just given each individual the Hare Krishna mantra and sent them home. So I could have done that. But I created a society, he said, so that devotees can come together and associate with each other and not be subjected to the influence of the non-devotees, because you take on the characteristics of those with whom you associate. So there was one famous French philosopher, Jean-Paul Sartre, and he said famously once, hell is other people. And in a sense, he's right, that if one associates only with other materialistic people, they're creating a hellish situation in this life and the next. But somehow if we come in contact with the pure devotee, Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, if somehow or another, as we're wandering through the material universe, taking one body after another, if somehow or other we come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, then we can receive, by the mercy of the pure devotee and Krishna, the seed of devotional service, which we can cultivate and make our human life successful. So I'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.